Good morning. Welcome to Sidman United Methodist Church. And for those of you joining online, the Sidman, Dunlow, and Beaverdow worships through Facebook and YouTube. I forgot a bulletin. Is the hymn up first? Yes. If you want to stand and join to sing the hymn of grace, that's Come Thou Font of Every Blessing for Sidman. It's number 2 in the hymnal, or of course, it'll be on the TVs behind us. Psalm 67 in the Pew Bibles, that'll be page 496. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us.
That your ways may be known on earth, and your salvation among all nations.
May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you.
May the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you rule the peoples justly, and are now the nations of the earth.
May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you.
And the land yields its harvest. God, our God, bless us.
May God bless us still, so that all the ends of the earth will fear him. God bless you. If you will be seated, we will go over the announcements. This Wednesday, May 25th, there will be a trustees meeting at 6 o'clock, followed by a church council meeting at 7. On June 17th and 18th, this isn't printed in the bulletin, we will be selling pierogies over the last two Saturdays. A few of us have gathered to make 120 dozen pierogies, so we're going to be selling those at the Sophomore Heritage Days. Some of us will be needed to actually warm the pierogies, so we do need help actually selling them and doing floats. So I made a sign-up sheet for times in the back. It's on the yellow sheet of paper on the clipboard. If you could sign up, that would be wonderful. Anything about Bible school? There's a sign-up sheet back there. Pretty empty. So if you feel so inclined to help with Bible school, we'd love to have you. That's the last full week of July. Sunday through Thursday. And there's a sign-up sheet back there for kids who are interested in joining us. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Yeah, we're going since for our Honduras mission trip next month, there's a list back here of what the orphanage needs. I've also got a request from the kitchen staff to bring an electric can opener. So if you would like to donate an electric can opener, a new one like the Walmart or whatever, to the orphanage that we can take down, just let me know.
So sign us in back for the Honduras trip. They need some supplies and things in an electric can opener. So if you're interested, have any questions, email. Anything else for Sidman? Dunlow, it looks like there's something going on. Lots of things going on at Dunlow. Beaverdale's sales going on there. And no charge announcements. Any others? Go ahead.
There's an order form on the back for if you want to order a sub or pizza. The subs are $9 and the pizzas are $7. And they're made by Conzatti's. Conzatti's. You know who I'm talking about? Because I don't. They're the ones who are making everything. It's for June the 11th. So there's, I believe it's in the bulletin, and there's also an order form in the back, whether you want onions or plain pizza or pepperoni pizza or whatever.
Thank you. If there are no other announcements, if the children want to come forward for the children's message.
Even though when I had that, those devices of torture in front of me this week, and I thought, why, God? Well, how can this make anything better? It's the end of the week, and I thought, you know what? I figured out how to use those things. I took those problems he gave me. I took the trials and the tribulations he gave me. I put them to use in a different way. And now I kind of understand how to make them work in my life. It's kind of like that book, there's a book, you know, Why Do Bad Things Happen to Good People? I've seen that out there. I thought, yeah, why do they? Well, sometimes it's because it helps teach us a lesson, and it becomes a tool for us. Something we don't know how to work, how to use, or why we need it. But later on in life, we figure it out. We say, ah, that's why it was there. That's how this can help me move forward. So the next time God gives you troubles and trials, and you think, what did I do wrong? Who did I make mad? It's not that you made anybody mad. It could just be that God putting these little trials in front of us as these, you know, tools that we don't know how to use, don't understand their importance, but later on they can help us make beautiful things out of our life. Let's go for it. Dear Lord, it does seem often that bad things happen to good people. But we realize that if we take those tools, those episodes, those instances in our lives, figure out how you want us to use them to either improve our lives or those around us, that we can use them to make beautiful things or to help others understand their lives a little better. Amen.
In singing, is His Name Is Wonderful. That's 101 in our hymnal or on the screens.
Something with me today. So when I kneel down, it's not that hard wooden floor. Any joyful things happen to anybody this week? We've all lived a yo-hum-ho life this forever since last Sunday. Nothing special happened. You have something special now? Why do you keep pointing over here? Oh, I see now.
I raised a co-worker a couple weeks for heart trouble. He had a successful heart surgery. Yeah, and is doing well. Still needs prayer to be a while, but thankful for it.
What's your name?
It's Jim.
Jim. Jim. Oh, you already know that. Jim. Jim, 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 Jim. Yes?
Tom Murphy came home from the hospital.
What hospital? Kahnemaw? Denton?
Our grandson won fifth grade spelling bee.
Fifth grade spelling bee. How are the sports coming?
Okay.
Okay, all right, all right.
They're playing out of conference.
I watch a lot of the NCAA girls softball tournament, and today is Championship Sunday. Whether they win their division, I mean, there's many locations throughout the country that they have these games. The only thing unfortunate about it, it's like the NFL. They have certain games that they have to have this channel in order to watch the game. Or, no, it's the NCAA playoff. You watch throughout the entire season, and you get to March Madness, and then you get to the championship game, and it's on a station you don't have. And my favorite team is Florida State. And they're on ESPN Plus. ESPN Plus! I can't get ESPN Plus unless I want to pay money for it, and I don't want the church to have to do that. But they played two games so far. Today is the championship game, and both games had to stop because of the 8-run rule. Each game was 8-0 by the fifth inning, and that was the end of the game. The girls' softball is like that. When somebody gets ahead by 8 runs, the game is over. Yeah. So it's interesting. And then in 2 weeks they start the championship, which is 50 years old. I think it's 50 years old because they're advertising. No, it's been 50 years since the law was passed that about women's sports. It's been 50 years since that was passed. And look where they are now. The women's sports. Okay, so we didn't have a very joyful life this week. How about our concerns? Oh, there we go. Oh, I wasn't listening for that. I was listening for the phone, where the phone was. It went off. Yes. Oh, wait a minute. Okay. Oh, chemo. Oh, how many sessions does she have to have a chemo? Not sure yet. That stuff is wicked. Well, oh, I forgot something. Let us enter into our time of prayer, and we'll raise our voices up to God Almighty. So let us pray. We believe, all-powerful and wise Lord, that you arrange and direct all things, even the small and the unpleasant things, to the increase of your honor and to the good of those who love you. Please teach us to trust your goodness and accept your choices for us. Even when we cannot understand the choices, keep our hearts fixed on you. Let us do in everything what pleases you, and then, in full surrender to your wisdom, leave the outcome entirely to you. We pray for the good health and well-being of the members of this congregation, their families, friends, and neighbors. We pray for the well-being and safety of our youth. We pray for law enforcement officers, members of the military, especially Second Lieutenant Carl Smith, who belongs to the Rangers. And we pray for the health workers, those people who take care of us when we're not feeling good. We pray for the leaders of our country and our community. We offer prayers for Jim. We offer prayers, he's from the hospital, Tom Burkett. And Donna's sister-in-law, we pray for her, who's going to be starting chemotherapy. Now, dear Lord, if there was a name that has come to the spirits of the people while we were praying, let them say that name out loud now.
Thank you.
Dear Lord, let us bring our prayer time to a close by praying together the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, we're celebrating, honoring women this month by having them being our usherettes. So would our usherettes please come forward to for the presentation of God's tithes, our gifts, and offerings. God in heaven, we thank you for this beautiful day that we've awakened to. We thank you for this opportunity to gather this fourth Sunday in the month of the very merry month of May. We thank you for this, and we ask that you accept these tithes, these gifts and offerings that comes from the pocketbooks and the pockets of the members of this congregation. We ask that it be used to help with the support of the church and with spreading your word around the community and beyond. We thank you for all of this, dear Lord, and we pray in the name of your Father, of the Son, the Holy Spirit, and amen. Thank you. Oh, please be seated. For some reason, I've only been doing it for 13 years. My prayer for the offertory just went. Okay, so we find our, well, yes, this is a lectionary, lectionary reading for this time of the year. It's Revelation, the book of Revelation. We don't usually talk much on Revelation unless you're concentrating on it. It's not a common lectionary reading. Verse 21, chapter 21, verses 10. Then we go to verse 22 and go all the way into chapter 22, verse 5. You can find it on the screens or in your pew Bibles on page 1076. And John the disciple. And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high, and showed me the holy city Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. Words to live by, the words of God. Thanks be to God. I just thought of this while I was reading that. How many people lock up the house before they go to bed? I do too, yeah. You open the front door, so I haven't opened the front door since I've been there. Got to close that, got to lock the back door, put these windows down in case of supposed rain tonight, because there's only a few windows where the rain comes in. I have those windows that go out like this, so I don't have to worry about rain coming in. It's the windows that go up and down that might come in. Well, we're just dorm to exactly what the night is coming, so we lock things up. There ain't going to be no light where we're going. We don't have to worry about locking things up. I don't know if we need to worry about locking things up now, but the first night I don't lock things up, that'll be when somebody enters the house and robs me or kills me or do something like that. See, if I only remembered to lock the front door. You know, you're laying in the hospital bed. It didn't kill me, but he cut an arm off or something like that. Laying in the hospital. You know, gee, if I just closed and locked that back door. I've done it for the last 7 months, and all of a sudden I don't, and look what happens. So I lock it every night. My father did the same thing, too, before he would go to bed. You could hear him going to the back, locking the back door. Then walking up to the front door. The front door was always closed, making sure that it was locked. Okay, this vision John talks about, remember that it's from John. John would have been picked up by an angel and taken to view this. And what he talks about in Revelation 21 and 22 is the Bible's version of the final heaven. The Bible's version. Not somebody interpreting it or anything like that. This is what the Bible says. The final heaven is a new earth. A new earth. But that heaven and the one John sees up until this point is a temporary home. We all are living in a temporary home. No matter how long you've been in your house, for 127 years, I think Gene told me, makes no difference. It's a temporary home. John sees no temple in the new creation. Not a synagogue. The main building was a temple, like what was in Jerusalem. He doesn't see one on the new earth. God himself dwells with us, his people. So the whole world is considered his temple. There won't be church buildings in eternity, because our whole existence will be an act of worship and love for God. Evil nations that persecuted God's people and opposed God's plan will be missing from the new earth. Won't that be a joy? We won't have to deal with all those people from I won't say where. But you know what I'm talking about. You know who I'm talking about, right? Yeah, we all know who I'm talking about? Yeah, hello? We do, okay, all right. So I won't pursue that any, because there might be some out there listening, and you know how things go. A new sun and moon may exist as part of the new creation, but John says there's no need for them. The light of God's glory will banish darkness and eliminate the need for any other source of light, which is the sun and the moon. Lawlessness and crime will be missing. No police officers will be needed, no jails, no courts, no lawmakers. The capacity to sin will be removed from our hearts, and we will walk in perfect, joyful obedience, there's that word again, obedience with God. This is a good one. Places that cater to and exploit our sinful natures will certainly be missing. No more casinos. No more casinos. There was a lady at Rector who always would miss a week or two, two times a year, and she would sit right back there. And when I got to that part, I'd always look at her and stare. Because we knew where she was going. She was taking a bus trip to Atlantic City or someplace to play at in the casinos. I said, enjoy it while you can, because it ain't going to be there when you get to heaven. Those whose spiritual separation shown by lives of immorality, violence, or disobedience will have already been sent to another place, a horrible place of darkness and torment. So if you know people who don't believe in Jesus Christ, don't follow him, you know, say, goodbye, we won't be seeing you later on. You're off to another land. Fire and hell. I hope you have fun. I hope you have air conditioning in your where you're going to be staying, because you're going to need it. Human sickness and death will no longer be a part of the human condition in heaven. So we won't have relatives having to go through chemotherapy. Cancer, there won't be any cancer. There won't be anything. We'll all be nice and healthy. There'll be no COVID-19. That might be 2021 by then, but then we won't have to deal with it. That means no clinics or hospitals or funeral homes or cemeteries. So if you like walking around cemeteries, you better do it while you got a chance. The pursuit of mere material wealth will be a thing of the past. We won't have to worry about money. You won't have to think about retirement plans or 401ks, which means no banks, no stock markets, or commodity exchanges, and no collection agency. Yes? Oh, you're still... A lot of things we accept in this world will be missing in the next world, and we won't miss any of them. Even if you think, now, I'm going to miss this, I'm going to miss that. No, you won't. No, you won't. Things will change. Now, the river that's mentioned in the reading pictures the life-giving presence of God among his people. God's nature is just like the crystal clear water in the river, pure and transparent. John also sees a wonderful tree, or possibly several trees. These trees produce 12 kinds of fruit, one kind ripening each month of the year. Isn't that amazing? Boom. The leaves of the tree of life provide health-giving power to the residents of the New Jerusalem. The leaves, not the fruit, the leaves. The leaves do not correct physical problems because we don't have any. We won't have any physical problems when we're in heaven. Human existence will be transformed by God's personal presence. That's one change we'll have to make. God will be among us. You will finally have God's point of view on some of the experiences of this life that brought you so much pain. Notice I didn't say pleasure, pain. Those things that cause you pain will be made clearer to you. you will finally and fully understand some of God's purposes. Not all of them, but some of them. You may not understand how or why God allows certain things to touch your life, but someday you will. The longing of every human heart since Adam and Eve will finally have been satisfied. God will now dwell with his people. Yuns are his people. Wins are his people. Like Jesus did, God will dwell with human beings in bodily form, but God's glory and majesty will be visible. We will walk with God in a face-to-face fellowship, without a mask, like Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden. The new earth will be absent of sin's curse. In the eternal place of rest, there will be no curse at all to contend with. No sickness, no disasters, no sorrow. The promise of God is simple and quite clear. The person who believes in Jesus Christ and who remains faithful by God's grace will inherit all that has been promised. All that has been promised. Now, there's a lot of promises in the Bible, a lot of them, and all of them have come true. What makes us think that this final one is not going to happen? Name another promise that God made that wasn't completed. There are none. We have one left. So what makes us think that, oh, well, that's not going to happen? What's this? This is from our the Forest Hill Ministerian back on March the 27th. The promise of eternal life is certainly motivation to live obediently and joyfully for the Lord while in this life. What we're leading now. You will never thirst in heaven. Every desire and longing of the human spirit will finally be fully satisfied. Every desire and longing of the human spirit will finally be fully satisfied. Believers and followers of Christ will be occupied with at least two activities in eternity. You're not gone somewhere where you just lollygag around and do nothing and, you know, take four or five naps throughout the day and do absolutely nothing, sit in your lawn chair in the, well, there's no sun or moon, so you can't get a sunburn or a suntan, unless God walked by and then look out. There's going to be things for you to do. Here's one of them. You will serve God the Father as his servant. And you will reign with him and Christ forever. They're the two things that you will be required to do when you're in heaven. You will become involved in fulfilling and challenging activities forever. Heaven will be a place of rest and worship, but also a place of ministry and responsibility. Ah. Without the frustration of fatigue, we'll never get tired. Misunderstanding or sinful motives. Work will finally be a joy in heaven. Work. A four-letter word, work. What we all have to do from the moment we start, whatever age that is, almost until you can say you're retired. I'm retired, but, you know, I just can't imagine sitting home and doing nothing. I can picture that now, but that's because I'm doing something. But work is going to be a joy in heaven. A joy. How many people at work is joyful now? Mine is. Mine is. Yours is. And it will be considered, work will be considered an act of worship to God. Built in its place, something new will emerge. A creation beautiful than anything you can imagine. So stop thinking about what it's going to be like in heaven, because you ain't going to be anywhere close to what it's going to be like in heaven. You're just wasting time that could be used for other things here that God wants you to do. Not, well, what's it going to be? Let's see, gold streets and water fountains every 5 feet. There'll be 72 virgins up there. No, that's another religion where the 72 virgins. Everybody will know everybody. We'll all be pals and friends. We don't have to garden because the plants will grow on their own. I started this week. I bought plants at Miller's. Miller's. Not Sanctuary. It's not a sanctuary. Miller's Flower Place or whatever it's called. And they've all been planted. And after I bought them all, somebody said, now you're going to have to feed them. I'm going, what? You didn't tell me that before I bought them. I knew I was going to have to water them, but now I got to feed them too? Yeah, oh, yes. At least once a month you're going to have to feed them. So I got two potted plants. When you come to the picnic, July 17th, I think it is, at the parsonage, you'll see two potted plants hanging there. I water them every other day. And then the ones around the garden, below the side porch, color, because everything there is green. So I bought plants that have color with it, and I water them. I took my hose out, one of those hoses that expands as you put water in it. And when I was done, I had the gray slacks on. The gray slacks were soaking wet. It's like, what in the world is this? I can't have this every time I water the flowers. Oh, so I got better at it yesterday. I've never done anything like that. It's all new to me. I even bought a pair of gloves at the Dunlow Bacon Bargain Sale. The perfect color to work in the dirt. White. White gloves, but they got sticky things on the palms. So I bought those. In fact, I forgot to use them while I was watering the plants. Oh, geez, wow. So all that's new to me. I don't have green thumbs. I never did, never will. No. I keep saying these plants are going to die within a week or so because of poor care. So I have to remember to go out and take care of the plants now. $80 worth of flowers I bought, and we're still not done. Now we have to go out and get honeysuckle. Honeysuckle, because that's what I want. Honeysuckle up against the wall. So I have to buy three trellises or whatever they're called. One on one side, one on the other side, and one in the middle. So the honeysuckle can grow up them. I hope it starts growing up them before I'm told, hey, you got to go someplace else. Because I would like to see the honeysuckle. So that was a joy that I had this week, going out. I had to pick them myself. Oh, I like that one. I like the color of that one. No, I don't know. This is all green. Get those green things out of here. Everything else is green. Oh, that's colorful. Let's take two of those and two of those. So we got a white one in the middle and then spread out along the side. I just hope Phil doesn't decide to use them for his pet business since it's been dug up and the dirt's been moved. So, okay. All right. I've digressed as usual. I pray that the vision you have of heaven doesn't cloud your understanding of the Bible's vision of heaven. Let us pray. The God who created heaven and earth, we recognize the truth we have found in your words in the Bible. Let us continue to find the truth in your final book in the Bible. What are we to believe? Our own thoughts based on who knows what, or on the words of God that have been proven to be true for centuries? Let me close with the final three words of prayer in the Bible. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Let us now stand and sing our hymn of joy, There's Within My Heart a Melody, on the screen or on page 488 in your hymnal. Thank you. you at least give the Apostle John's vision due consideration? Why would this vision have been given to John if not for a purpose? Don't let your previous consideration of heaven stand in the way of considering John's vision. We may not know the reason why in this life, but we may learn the reason why in the new heaven. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and all God's children said,
Amen.
Oh, let's do that again. And all God's children said,
Amen.
There we go.